From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, David, and welcome into our weekend edition of Life Change Today. Glad you're listening in. And as you know, on weekends, we bring in guests and friends. We often hear people share their testimony of what God is doing in their life. And we often hear people that have perhaps had trips serving the Lord different places. People have written articles that have been on. And recently, many of you know, my wife and I decided to relocate in Florida. And we're in a place called Green Acres. Now, some of you will laugh because you remember the television show called Green Acres. And there's a lot of humor to that. But we love this area of Green Acres. We moved into a beautiful area here. And we have had some amazing neighbors that we've met. And I'm delighted to have a man of God that's been in the ministry for many, many years with us today. And he's actually one of my neighbors. We can walk over to him, I think, in about 50 steps, something like that. It's not very far. But I'm so glad to have Pastor John Jenko with us today. He is my neighbor. And John, welcome into the broadcast. Thrilled to have you on today.
Well, thank you. It's a delight to be here.
We are delighted to have fellowship in the community. I told my wife the first time I met you, I said, boy, the Holy Spirit's all over this guy.
thank you.
You have a wonderful, wonderful testimony and so forth, for which we are very thankful. Now, you and your wife have been married for a couple years, I guess, right?
A little more than a couple. 66 years.
66 years. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, that's wonderful. And you're, what, 67 years old, is that?
Well, she'll be 90 this month.
This month, yeah, wow. Well, you both look in great health, and it's just a joy having you in our neighborhood together here, and you've been such a wonderful host to me in the community. John, tell us a little bit about how things began with your life in your early days in the ministry.
The early days. Well, I was born in Lower Manhattan, one of three sons, to godly parents. And without that, you know, who knows where life would have been or where I would be today. But Mom and Dad were praying people, loved the Lord, and we were in church every time church was. And back in those days, in the Italian church, we didn't meet in a church building. We met in a loft building. Because there was no church in Lower Manhattan. It was just a place to worship where the sign at the foot of the stairs was a hand pointing upstairs saying, Jesus saves one flight up. And it was to that, that was the background of our growing up in the city. And God was very gracious to us. And we grew to know respect and love God and family. That was always a part of it. You know, the Italian families were always big. Right, and, but we were part of that family. But Mama was the only one who had committed her life to Christ out of that whole family. And so it was a mission field for my mother. Mm. She has a wonderful story of how she found the Lord and what it cost her, because it was difficult in those days. But nonetheless, God was gracious, and she came through the tribulation strong and willing to serve the Lord. And, you know, it just comes to mind now. I remember when we were but kids, she would have us by the bedside to say our evening prayer. Mm. And then she would pray around the world. Mother would pray around the world. And we three little boys would be kneeling by the bed, and sometimes we'd fall asleep while she was still praying. But I remember her praying this prayer. Lord, if my sons are not going to grow up to serve you, then you take them home now while they're still innocent. Mm. That never left me. Such a commitment to God, such a desire that we serve the Lord, we just knew we were in a holy place in the house of God in our home. Mm-hmm. So we grew up serving the Lord, and that was a wonderful blessing in the early days.
But that sounds like one of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard, to pray something like that. What courage that took on her part. Wow. Yeah. You're listening into Life Change today. This is Dino Padron chatting with you. We're so glad to have John Jenkel on with us. He's telling us a little bit about the beginning of his life. And then, of course, you ended up going into the ministry. How many years were you in the ministry, John?
66 years. We got married, went into the ministry, and we just retired a year ago. So that was 60-some years.
I will say this to you and to our listening audience out there, that you and your wife really look the part of a pastor and his wife. You really do. You have a wonderful presence about you. The humility flows through. And I don't mean to embarrass you by saying that, but my wife and I often talk about we need pastors, we need preachers today that are the real deal, you know, that really believe what they believe and they're committed to what they believe, and you've been doing that. So tell us about how the ministry began to roll in your life.
Well, I went off to Bible school, Eastern Bible Institute is what it was called, not to be a minister, but to learn how to defend the faith. I knew what I believed, and you know, in the old Italian, there were a lot of immigrants in the church, all spoke Italian, and the services, by the way, were 3 hours long. You know, it was always that way. I mean, they just loved to be in the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But they could not, they knew what they believed, but they couldn't defend what they believed. And as a young man in the world I was in, I wanted to know why I believed what I believed. So I went off to Bible school to learn that. But it was in my second year in the study of the Word of God. I remember being in one class, and the Spirit of the Lord moved. And the teacher stopped the class and said, "The Lord has something to say." And he said, he read the passage, "To whom much is given, much is required. And he who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of the kingdom." And it was in that moment that the Spirit of the Lord witnessed in my own heart, "John, you know too much to turn back now." And so that was the beginning. At that point, I said yes to the Lord. I would follow him into the ministry as he would so lead. And I set my sails, and that's where it all started.
And how old were you then, John? Approximately what age?
20, well, not even 20. I was probably 19.
Mm-hmm. You know, being in the church service for 3 hours like that, some people probably listening and say, "Oh my goodness, how do you do that?" But there's something, I think there's something about being in church, in the atmosphere of a good church, that does rub off, doesn't it? I remember as a child going to church, and especially after I came to Christ, that there was something about being there. I liked it. I really did. I didn't necessarily want to go all the time, but when I got there, I thought, this is really good stuff. And have you found that to be true?
I'm with you. The memories I have of being close in the presence of the Lord or in church. Mm-hmm. As a young man, mm-hmm. teenager, we would go to church in the evening, Sunday mm-hmm. evening and midweek evening. And at that time, they always had an invitation to come up and pray after the service. Mm-hmm. So the mm-hmm. altar was always open. Mm-hmm. And we would go up and kneel in the presence of the Lord. And I can still remember the presence of God and the tears that I shed, just feeling God's presence, knowing that he loved me, and enjoying that presence. And then we'd be up and out and running like kids would run. Mm-hmm. But I always remember there was that interaction that had an influence on my life that was to last forever. We don't see that anymore. Mm-hmm. Not much.
Yeah, I remember the old camp meetings.
Yeah.
The Sawdust Trail and all those kind of things. I don't know that I realized at the time what an influence it made in my life, but I sensed it. Sensed it back then. And so now so where was your first church at?
Well, when the school that we were at, you know, taught nothing but Bible, a few other side subjects, but when you graduated, it was, there's the world, go do what God wants you to do. Well, where do I go? What do I do? So we took a trip up to Vermont. Ruth and I, we were married as soon as we got out of school, and we went up to Vermont. Her brother was up in Vermont. We visited him and drove through the area where he was and up into the town of Randolph. Not having heard from God, I said to the Lord, "Now, Lord, this is a nice town. I haven't heard anything from you as to where I am to go and what I am to do. So I'm going to start here. If you don't want me to start here, then you open a different door and turn me around. I'm up for that." So that's the way it started. We went into this town, and we started with a radio broadcast. People didn't know us, so we needed to be known. So we started, Ruth and I could both sing, and she played the instruments. And we started with a children's story hour. And I went to work in a factory, all of which to become part of this town, this community. And out of that, after a year, we had a great children's ministry. We were on the radio. I was now working at the factory. We started church service, and I think it was at the American Legion Hall. And the first Easter, I think, there had to be 100 people there. Surprised us. The new kids in town that they didn't know and were afraid of, but God. You know, it's always the issue. But God had a plan, and he was working out his plans for our life one day at a time, and so we enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's a great testimony. You're listening into Life Change today. This is DPM Ministries bringing this program. Glad that you're listening in to our weekend edition. To friends that are in Africa, we say hello to you, whatever time you're listening to this program. So glad to have you as a part of our audience. We are talking today to my neighbor, a wonderful man of God that I've met here in the new community, John Jenko. He and his wife, Ruth, married 66 years, right?
Yep.
66 years.
Yes.
66 years in the ministry. And he's talking about his life and what God did in his life. I kind of like that idea, John. Lord, we're going to start here, and if this is not it, then lead us somewhere else. I remember when I began, I was a youth pastor for 2 years. I don't know that I ever was a youth pastor, but that's what they called me, a youth pastor. And then I went on to university for more training, and I always had places to preach. When I was there at the university, I had nothing. Nobody was inviting me to do anything. And so I used to have my wife sit down in the living room, and I would preach to her. Two or three of those times. Yeah, two or three times she said, "You know, we got to find you a church." And in 1 week, six opportunities came, six. Yeah. And we, you know, my wife said, "Well, where are we going to go?" It's kind of like what you said. I said, "First one that asks us, we're going. That's how this is going to work." And so we went, left, stayed there 25 years. I really think, especially young people need to hear that story, John, your story, how that happened. Because, you know, a lot of people are looking for, give me a church, give me the salary, give me this, give me that. But really, it's God's leading, isn't it? And God takes care of you along the way. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that ministry.
Well, the ministry became known in the community as the church that took care of the poor, the downtrodden, the alcoholics, the broken homes, the kids who were from a single parent home. And I would take my station wagon and go pick these kids up. Sometimes I'd have to get them dressed on a Sunday morning before I could bring them to church and put a fire in the stove while the parents didn't care enough to do that. But it was the way it was. And we saw the gathering of the hungry, the hurting, and God ministered to them. And in a matter of time, salvation, the gift of salvation, was experienced by many. And we were able to build a sanctuary and fill it. God filled it with the people who were in need. And it was a great experience, just a great experience.
Is there something, John, about reaching the poor, the downtrodden, that brings about a special blessing, do you feel?
I would think so. You know, while you're in Bible school, you're supposed to choose a verse that would be your guiding light. And I chose the one from Luke 19, where Jesus is saying, "Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor." And then he goes on, opening the eyes of the blind and setting the captive free. And so I found that to be happening in the journey that I was taking. It was to the poor that we were sent. and the people in hurting and in the back alleys, and God was gracious, and we've never served a big church. I mean, it just never was God's plan. And we served six churches in our ministry time, but never anything other than a small congregation of hungry people in a small community that needed God. That was what God had planned for our life, and that's what we did. Yeah, blessed.
Well, it sounds, you know, it reminds me a little bit about the old bus ministry days in America.
Yeah.
When they would, we used to do that, take the buses, and you can't do that much today because of the environment we're in, but go out there and reach those people. Now, I don't want to miss this, John. You and your family sing, right? You're singers.
Yes, we do. Yes.
I, not too many preachers can sing. We think we can.
You know, singing all started. My father and mother loved to sing. So when we three boys were growing up, and we had responsibilities, and after supper, my two brothers washed and dried the dishes. I swept the floor, cleaned the table, but we sang around the kitchen sink. That's where we started singing. Eventually, we would travel as a trio, the three of us boys, for the gospel's sake, and do some preaching as well with it. But music has always been a part of our life, and when I married Ruth, and she was a musician, we began, as we said, to sing, and when the children came along who were old enough, they began to sing with us. And then we had a family sing. We had three-part harmony, four-part harmony. And we started ministering in song. We made five long-playing albums, the old albums, and traveled a great deal on when I had my vacation time each month, each week. I wish it were. But each year, we would take time and travel, different churches, singing, preaching, doing what we did. And it was a great ministry. We loved it, and it reached a lot of lives. And we traveled to England, did 3 weeks of traveling and singing every night, every day. And the children were a blessing. That's good memories for us. Ruth and I still sing.
Yeah, we went to their house the other day for lunch, and she played What a Friend We Have in Jesus so beautifully on the piano. It was so beautiful, Yeah, she didn't miss a note.
No.
Yeah, music is a part of all of our lives, even if we don't have the gift to sing. John, how many years did you pastor altogether then?
66 years.
It was that's part of the ministry. So you were actually in the ministry probably prior to that doing some things too. So you may have been more than the 66, right? Is that correct?
Yep. Somewhere in that vicinity, yeah. No, just about. Because when I was in school, the 3 years of school, we had ministry as well. So if you added that in, yeah, it keeps adding up. But it has been a great journey. I would trade nothing for it, nothing. It was the journey that God had set before us. And when you're in the will of God, wherever, whatever you are called to do, it's the best place to be, and the heart is most comfortable when you're in the will of God.
How much of an impact, John, do you think those early days with your mother, and you know, you're talking about being in church 3 hours at services, how much of an impact did that make on your life ultimately?
Immeasurable. My parents were very good and faithful givers. I can remember my mother very vividly during after the war, when money was hard to come by and people were polishing apples and selling them on the corner, we would have people come to the house. We lived in a tenement building. And I remember this crippled man who was, I don't know, he must have had the palsy and his face was disfigured. But he held in his hand a little can, probably an empty vegetable can, peas or whatever, and he had pencils. And he would come in his distorted face into the hallway, and we as kids would watch, and almost frightening. But mother would always welcome him, and she would always buy pencils, penny a pencil or whatever. This man was trying to make a living for his family. And she would never turn anybody away, never. We had more pencils than you could use, but she would always buy pencils. And my father was the same. He would give the shirt off his back to anybody who was in need. He would drive them. We watched this, and watching this had a great impact on us. The joy of giving was always there. And so this went with us into our lifetime. A reflection, I would say to my dad, I said, Dad, you know, I look at myself now and I look at you and I said, I'm a chip off the old block. I said, the buttons on my shirt are loose like yours were, and I give my shirt away. And when he heard that, he said, yeah.
That God must have made him feel really good.
Yeah, it was. But it was the truth.
Yeah.
You know, parents have a great influence on children.
Mm-hmm.
How you behave, how you teach, how you love your wife, how you love your husband. And we always knew that. My father loved my mother. Mm-hmm. And one day he put us boys against the wall and he said, now boys, I want you to know something. In this house, your mother is the queen. And if you ever sass your mother or give her grief, you will answer to the king. and you know, here we were. Wow. We had heard the word, you had better respect your mama, because I'll be having to talk to you if you don't. We know what that meant.
The word coming down from Sinai.
Oh, yeah.
John, we have just a couple of minutes left here, and I want you to give a devotional thought. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. We're so glad you're listening in. Pastor John Jenkel is with us, a new friend of mine, a neighbor, just a few yards away from where I live at. And what a joy, John, to have you on. We'll have you on again here sometime on the radio with us. And I just we just have a couple minutes left here, so just give us a few thoughts from the Word of God that can encourage our hearts today.
There's a passage of Scripture in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul is speaking, and he says, we are troubled on every side, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep right on going. Those scriptures are repeated in my heart and in my mind time and time again, because life has its storms. Life has its difficulties. We're living in very treacherous times right now. I see a storm brewing that I haven't seen in my lifetime. Things are dark, foreboding, and we are, as a nation and as a world, coming into a time when you're going to need to know how to navigate a storm, the storm that comes. And from Paul's experience, and he's been through a lot of storms, he indicates that if you're going to survive, there are several things you need to know. One, you're never alone. God will never abandon you. Whether you understand what's going on or not, God won't abandon you. Whether you are perplexed because of what's happening in our world or happening to you or happening in the government, God will not abandon you. And I remember the words of Jesus himself, who said to his disciples, no, I will not leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you. And he does, and he will. So as the storm clouds gather, stay close to the Lord. I mean, that's the best advice I can give you, is stay close. The sheep that stays closest to the shepherd is never afraid of the wolf, because of the comfort of knowing the shepherd is right there. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my God. He is my strength. He is my portion. He is everything I need in this storm. So if we hold steady in the storms come, the storms go. They'll pass, and they who have their anchor in the Lord, they who have the shelter of God upon them, you'll survive the storm.
Amen.
So hang in there.
Amen, John. Thank you so much. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you. What a blessing it has been to have Pastor John Jenkel on. Thank you for that wonderful truth from the Word of God. In closing, don't forget our Bible study Monday through Friday. Check your where you are at when we are on through the daytime with Life Change Today. Thanks so much for listening in. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.